Well, to state the obvious, everyone has had their lives turned upside down by the coronavirus outbreak, and there are also portions of the population that have added stresses, like those in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. Dr. Heidi Gintner has over two decades' experience caring for patients with substance use disorders. She is the chief medical officer for Recovery Centers of America's Massachusetts facilities in Danvers and Westminster. Dr. Gintner, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we want to talk about how the outbreak is adding to the challenges of those fighting addiction, but I wanted to start by having you give us some information about what recovery means, starting with what some of the signs are that we should be looking for if, say, we're concerned someone we love is addicted.
So that's a great question, and I think there are so many concerns about looking for signs of COVID-19 right now that we forget that substance use disorders are also deadly diseases, and
right.
So knowing what the signs are is really important. I sort of break it down into four sections. One is the person generally starts to change, and they change their personality and their behaviors. They may change their routines, their friends, their activities. They may change their appearance, and then they change their financial situation. So a lot of times people will start to request money or need money in different ways than they ever have before, or they will start to look different in terms of not having the same attention to detail with their appearance, maybe being a little more shaky, a little less coherent, maybe slurred speech sometimes. People will often start to change who they're spending time with, how they're interacting with their family members, their friends, their kids, how they're attending to their responsibilities at work. And so a lot of changes. I think of somebody who is just no longer at their baseline and is changing in ways that are negative are really the concerning signs.
And I think I know the answer to this, but there really isn't one demographic, is there, for someone who can fall under this? And are there danger groups too, though?
So certainly people who are at increased risk for having severe complications of substance use disorder are those people who already are marginalized. So people who don't have good financial support, who don't have a network of friends, family, who don't have a job, who are housing insecure or homeless, anyone who's already marginalized in regular social ways is going to be at higher risk for having the severe complications. But a lot of individuals have trauma that you can't see that is impacting their substance use. And so for many people, this disease can hit anybody,
yeah.
And you may or may not have a risk factor coming into it ahead of time.
We're speaking with Dr. Heidi Gintner, Chief Medical Officer for Recovery Centers of America's Massachusetts facilities in Danvers and Westminster. Dr. Gintner, can you talk about some of the programs and services that you guys have at recovery centers?
Absolutely. The main one that we have to sort of start things out is the medically supervised detoxification that is inpatient at our facilities. And then that can go into an inpatient residential treatment as well. So many people who choose that option will be on the detoxification side for about 5 to 7 days and then complete their residential treatment over the next 30 days. We also have outpatient counseling and medications available for the treatment of addiction. There are multiple medications that can be used for opiate use disorder as well as for alcohol use disorder, and so we have all of those available. One of the things that's different now during this COVID-19 crisis is that our outpatient services are now virtual, so
yeah.
We have telemedicine options to provide the counseling, the groups, and that piece. However, our inpatient sites are still open 24/7 to take admissions because we really know that getting people into treatment and monitoring that initial part for the medically supervised withdrawal can be really life-saving.
I'm guessing this really varies person to person, but can you give maybe an overview of what the detox portion is like? I mean, you know, you see the movies. Maybe it's not quite as severe as the movies. I don't know, but I wonder if you could just sort of give us a general idea of what that entails.
Oh, I'd be happy to. And I think that is important because when you're bringing a loved one into treatment, you really want to have a sense of what is this going to look like
for
my person who I'm leaving in your care.
Yeah.
And so one of the good things is that our facilities are beautiful and people are warm and caring when they meet you right at the door. So there's first that piece of making sure that there's a handoff from somebody who loves you and cares about you on the outside to somebody who is absolutely going to take care of you on the inside. And then the process is a model that is supervised by medical providers but really administered by nursing. And so the patients are on a nursing unit and evaluated every 2 to 4 hours to see what sort of symptoms they're having and what sort of relief of those symptoms we can provide. So it's really a model that looks at keeping people safe and keeping people comfortable so that they can really get through the not only the discomforts of detoxification, but also the risks. For people who are using alcohol or benzodiazepines, there's actually a risk of seizures and possibly death associated with going through withdrawal in a way that's not medically supervised. So we're certainly keeping people safe as a priority, but also keeping them comfortable so that they can get through and start making good decisions about how to maintain their recovery long term.
We're speaking with Dr. Heidi Ginter, Chief Medical Officer for Recovery Centers of America's Massachusetts facilities in Danvers and Westminster. We're talking about the extra challenges faced by those with substance use disorders during the coronavirus outbreak. And let's talk about those, some of the extra challenges faced right now by those in recovery. I mean, the reality is, millions of people in the U.S. now in recovery, and now, like all of us, they're faced with isolation, social distancing because of the coronavirus. And I want to ask you how the pandemic is affecting those people, people in recovery.
Well, I think one of the things the recovery community has done is quickly gone from a basic model of meeting in person and getting together for 12-step meetings or other mutual support meetings and bringing that online. So there is a vibrant community of AA, NA, and other mutual support that is happening online. In addition to focusing on what can somebody do in an isolation situation to maintain themselves and to really focus on the self-care that's associated with recovery. So some of the advice we give people is, number one, if you're stuck at home, keep a schedule. You need a routine. You need some structure. That's yep. certainly part of maintaining sobriety. Number two, make some plans for the day that you actually keep to so that you have some goals and you're sort of moving toward meeting those goals as the day goes on. Try a new hobby. Read some recovery literature. Watch a movie that's uplifting rather than something that's
right.
scary.
Good advice for all of us, I think, perhaps. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that people forget is that even picking up the telephone and calling your sponsor can be really, really reassuring yeah. and very supportive of your recovery. Doing some step work. Sometimes people have a hard time making the time to really get into their step book and start doing that work. Finding time to meditate, finding time to do yoga, even just a basic daily gratitude practice. There's so much available even before you turn on your computer. And then when you turn on your computer, there are phenomenal resources. There's virtual AA and NA meetings going on all over the place. And there's a lot of resources that we have not only on our website, but also through the AA and NA websites as well. And then there are these other things like Peloton, for example, has free trial membership now that people can use. Headspace, you can get on there and do the meditation practices for free. There's just a lot going on, and it's actually pretty cool to see how the community has really wrapped itself around trying to figure out how do we support those people who are vulnerable in our community. And certainly people with substance use disorders who are in early recovery are vulnerable, and the community has really found a way to provide some support in the virtual world now.
Can we step back just for a second? I apologize, but you mentioned the step book. And I mean, as most humans, you know, I have people I know who have had to recover from alcohol and drug addiction. And so I sort of know what you mean by that. But can you just dive a little bit deeper into what when you said step book, what you mean by that?
For sure. So the 12 steps have a variety of programming associated with them that is usually done through the 12-step meetings that you attend. And there are different types of meetings that people go to. Some of them are very basic and very open. Some are more closed to people only in recovery. Some are gender-based. Some are more specific. And one of the things that sometimes happens when you get into the 12-step work is that they encourage you to have a sponsor and somebody who you can actually go through each of the steps and work the step and sort of dive deep into it and figure out what it means to you, what it means to your recovery, and how can you really get the most out of the process of going through that step in particular. And there are books that guide that, and really it's incredibly helpful to do that with a sponsor. And so for those people who are very committed to the mutual support of 12 steps, finding a sponsor and really having that person guide you through this process is just a deep dive into each step.
I also want to ask you, because you did touch on this too, but the fact that in-person meetings just, they're just not happening for anybody these days. And there, like you said, there are virtual meetings and online presence. But what do you have advice for people on ways? I mean, obviously, it's not quite the same as meeting someone in person, but are there ways to get more out of these virtual meetings or these online meetings?
I think it's a great question. I think one thing is to, in the same way when we have the ability to meet with others in groups, is you find a meeting by talking to other people about what meetings are working for you and what works not only based on where you live or where you work, but also the feel of the people there. And so the same word of mouth communication is getting people into meetings that feel comfortable for them as well. So for the 12-step community, certainly reaching out to your sponsor and saying, hey, I'm interested in finding an online meeting. What do you suggest? And then testing them in the same way that you would test meetings in person, where you actually go, log in, be a part of it, see how it feels. It's incredibly easy to get out of a logged-in situation.
Right.
Even less.
Perhaps easier than when you're in person, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think for a lot of people, it really provides this wonderful opportunity to shop around without having to do a lot of driving.
Right.
And so it's a pretty rich environment to experiment in from that perspective.
We're speaking with Dr. Heidi Ginter, who is Chief Medical Officer for Recovery Centers of America, Massachusetts facilities in Danvers and Westminster, talking about coronavirus and how it's affecting those in recovery. Can you give your website, if you would, please, because I know you guys have some great information on there if people want to find out more, please.
Absolutely. It is www.recoverycentersofamerica.com. And we have an enormous reserve of information in there. Underneath the resources section, there are all kinds of links to not only online recovery meetings and activities that are sort of filtered through RCA, but also the virtual AA and NA meetings, and then a bunch of sort of resources around how do you manage anxiety?
How do
you talk to your kids about addiction and coronavirus?
Right.
How do you manage taking care of yourself in times of stress? We also talk a little bit about the faith side and how do you attend to your spiritual needs during this stressful time. We also have a really robust alumni community who is providing additional support for people who have been through our program and want to remain involved as they continue their path of recovery. And so there's a lot of really great resources on that website, and that's www.recoverycentersofamerica.com.
Yeah, I would guess the power of the network is pretty strong for people who have been through this before.
We're so fortunate that this is happening at a time when we have this resource.
Yeah.
I mean, we could not be in a better place to be able to move to an online world, and the telemedicine and the virtual communities that have popped up are really, really encouraging. One thing that I want to make sure people understand is that Recovery Centers of America is still accepting patients for admission. We are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you call our hotline, 1-800-RECOVERY, there is somebody who's going to answer the phone and get you into treatment. And that is so important. So many places have shut down, and we've been on quarantine for so long. Knowing that you actually have a place to go for help, Recovery Centers of America is open.
I'm going to give you your website again for people. So they have it, Recovery Centers of America, all spelled out, .com, if you want to find out more. Dr. Heidi Ginter is Chief Medical Officer for Recovery Centers of America, the Massachusetts facilities in Danvers and Westminster. Dr. Ginter, thank you so much for what you do, and I certainly appreciate your time, and I hope you stay safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I hope you stay safe and healthy, too. I appreciate your time as well.